Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
It's Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. Get up to 35% off select major appliances and save an additional $1,000 when you buy four select LG major appliances. Plus, get a free DeWalt 20-volt max 5-amp-hour battery when you buy a select DeWalt 20-volt max tool. Get the job done for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/26. Selection varies by location while supplies last. See associate or Lowe's.com for more details and qualifying items.
Welcome back to The Bulwark. We have a very special edition of False Flag to discuss today, because it's about a bunch of people I've never heard of. Will, usually in your newsletters, I recognize the names. I'm familiar enough with this ecosystem that I can navigate a lot of it just by kind of skimming. But I had to read very closely, because I have no idea who any of these people we're talking about today are. What is going on in the world of Republican vote getting? Because that seems to be what we're discussing.
Yes. So this is what I'm here for. So this centers around this guy named Scott Pressler. He's also known as the Persistence. So he's kind of like the opposite of the Resistance. And he is I have to describe him. He's extremely tall. He's like 6'3". He has, I was saying chest length hair, but it's almost like ab length hair. He's gay, which kind of is part of his persona in the Republican Party. And his big thing is that he, whenever there's a big election, he goes out and he kind of talks to the blue collar people or the Amish, in the case of Pennsylvania, and he gets them to register as Republicans. And so there's kind of this myth around him that he's like the guy who saves all these elections, or whenever the RNC chairmanship is open, his fans go like, you got to put Scott in charge. Like, you know, he's this electoral genius.
So, and he was one of the guys who was out there registering the Amish. That story I remember. I remember there was a lot of buzz in MAGA world in 2024 about the Amish. The Amish were going to turn it around, Pennsylvania, for Donald Trump, right? That was him.
Yes, exactly. And he kind of led the charge on like Amish are going to win this battleground state for Trump. In a way, it kind of reminds me of like when the Juggalos came to D.C. maybe a decade ago. People were like, the Juggalos are going to like overthrow the Trump administration. You have these kind of disconnected groups that people like put all their hopes into. And in this case, people got really excited, and Scott Pressler leaned into that. Now, his fans, you know, he never quite said this himself, but his fans would say things like, he's registered 180,000 Amish to vote. When the reality is, at most, within Pennsylvania, there was like 100,000 Amish. So, you know, that was impossible.
Yeah. So this gentleman is now being attacked by another gentleman who also does his own, he's got his own voter registration thing going on. What's the deal with that guy?
Yeah. So there's a guy named Brandon Straka. He's a former hairdresser, also gay. And that's relevant because his pitch is that he's going to lead these sort of non-traditionally Republican constituencies like racial minorities or women or LGBT people, and he's going to make them Republicans. They're going to it's called the walk away movement. So they're going to walk away from the Democratic Party. It's kind of a very similar thing, although he's obviously not famous for getting Amish people or anything like that. But him and Pressler were really close, or they were friends. And now, just in the past few months, Straka, as well as some sort of Pennsylvania grassroots activists and some other right wing figures, have come out and said, have really gone on the attack against Scott Pressler, saying he's, you know, exaggerating his importance and he's getting all this money. He got $1 million from Elon Musk in a way that isn't benefiting the Republican Party.
And I do think we should emphasize just how like personal and catty and silly this whole feud is, how it started, because my understanding, again, from reading your newsletter here, is that the falling out basically occurred because there was a mutual reinforcement pact that was ignored by Mr. Pressler during the most recent campaign. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it sort of gives you a glimpse into how these kind of clout shark right-wing influencers work. In this case, Brandon Straka, you know, and his allies, they have, you know, what I think are some substantive critiques about, you know, how much did the vote change in this county or whatever. But then a lot of it is just like, this guy was rude to me. I mean, really rude. And so, as you mentioned, a bunch of right-wing influencers, including the two of them, made this alliance to sort of promote their election efforts in 2020 all together and say, you know, you repost my content. It's kind of like a hype house situation. But in Straka's telling, Scott Pressler kind of took all the clout from everyone else and then refused to repost their content. And so as a result, it made him look like a much bigger figure in the GOP than everyone else. And then there was this kind of fight over, you know, you used my seat, you got closer, or you used your connection with me to take my seat at the Trump rally before January 6th. And the reason I bring up January 6th is it gets interesting because these two guys have had very similar paths up until then. They're kind of these non-traditional, such as it is, Republican voters. They register new voters. They get people excited about Trump. But then on January 6th, Scott Pressler, for the most part, appears to have kind of just walked around in the streets of D.C. amongst all the Ellipse crowd, high-fiving people, whatever. And then Brandon Straka, he went to the Capitol and he encouraged the mob. He was saying, to paraphrase here, but he was encouraging someone to wrestle a police officer's shield away, all this kind of stuff. So he, as a result, faced legal charges and ended up doing 3 years of probation. And so that's kind of where their paths diverge. Scott Pressler goes on to have a huge career. He has 2 million followers on X. He's getting this Elon Musk money, as I mentioned, and he's sort of seen as the Mr. Fix-It for the Republican Party. But now Brandon Straka and his buddies have emerged and said, well, if this guy's so good, why do we keep losing all these special elections?
Right. The big issue here was in Wisconsin. There was the Supreme Court election. Pressler went out there and was, you know, talking about how he's gonna register enough voters to turn this thing around. And that did not work for them. Isn't that right?
Right. I mean, this is the election folks may remember where Elon Musk wore the cheese head. In this case, in Scott Pressler's case, he said, you know, the cavalry is coming. And so this is, I think, the complaint other Republicans have with this guy is that they feel that, you know, he's saying that he's giving people kind of a false sense of confidence. Now, admittedly, they did win the presidential election. But there's a sense that, like, people are saying, well, Scott Pressler will deal with it. And then when he arrives, you know, they lose. You know, just to give you a little more backstory, he's so well regarded in the party that when Lara Trump took over as RNC chair, you know, people were saying, oh, you know, make him your deputy or whatever. And she said, oh, yeah, we're going to hire him. But then his backstory emerged. And these are the colorful characters we deal with in this field, that he had had sex as a Republican activist. He had sex with someone in an RNC office, you know, 9 years ago at this point, and then posted the pictures on Craigslist. And so obviously that kind of complicates it when you try to go back and work for the RNC again.
I just want to make sure I'm understanding this correctly. He was working at the RNC at the time, or he was just using the office.
He was a local Virginia GOP activist, and so it was like a shared office for like a bunch of Republican organizations.
Okay, and then he had sex in it, and he put the photos on Craigslist. That's right.
Yes, that's correct.
Why would he put the photos on Craigslist?
You know, they. These are mysterious, you know, often the motivations are unclear. You know, Brandon Straka, folks, even outside of MAGA world may remember him from, he did this this thing at CPAC where he put on an orange jumpsuit. He was kind of like the imprisoned MAGA after January 6th. And then Marjorie Taylor Greene came to his prison cell and they had a very sort of emotional encounter that, you know, struck people as like very odd. She was like kneeling and just, you know, trying to save this martyr.
I do remember that he had a little set at CPAC where he was in the prison cell. That's right. Oh yeah. Now it's all coming back to me. Bunch of weirdos. I'm glad that you brought this to our attention. And I like the description of them as like the GOP hype house. Like that you just have this like, group of insane, activist influencer types, all trying to get each other riled up by doing the dumbest things imaginable. and not actually really getting anything done.
Well, and you know, speaking of the dumbest things imaginable, the one other thing to mention here is on Brandon Straka's kind of list of grievances, and this comes up with a couple other people who talked about Scott Presser as well. They basically accused him of, I don't know if you would call it code switching or what, but changing his accent in bizarre ways. And so this is a guy who grew up generally in the South. But Brandon Straka makes a big deal about, there's this point where Scott Presser, and I mean, I agree, it's a weird accent, sort of adopts this, and we can play the video here, but he adopts this like Midwestern, it's like a very exaggerated Fargo accent. And you know, I do think that's a bit mysterious.
That is a little bit mysterious. You don't want to come off as a phony. That's not, you don't want to be a phony to people.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously, the authenticity is very key in this kind of influencer industry.
If you're not authentic as a gay vote getter with shoulder length, chest length, ab length hair, what can you be in this world? That's you just can't do that. I just want to hit one last thing, because this is kind of mentioned, it's kind of tossed off at the top of your piece, but there's an interesting little wrinkle in the Palantir story. What is going on with Alex Jones kind of shrugging his shoulders at the massive surveillance infrastructure that Peter Thiel's Palantir has built?
Yeah, so this is jumping off of a New York Times story recently that said the Trump administration has hired Peter Thiel's massive defense contractor company, Palantir, to build a huge surveillance database of Americans in a way that's never been done before. And you might say, wow, this is the kind of thing that Alex Jones of InfoWars would be absolutely freaked out about. This is the guy who thinks, you know, Big Brother's coming through the door at any moment. But instead, he gets on his show on Monday and says, you know, everyone's asking me about Palantir. Palantir this, Palantir that. But I want to say, essentially, stop bugging me about Palantir. Palantir, they're so small compared to the other tech companies. And you know what? What does it matter? And this is what he says. All the AIs are woke. So, you know, I guess, you know, when it is a Trump-aligned surveillance state, Alex Jones is going to take a pass on complaining.
That is fascinating to me, because I mean, look, Alex Jones is based in Austin. There's a big tech boom in Austin right now. Like that is all kind of taking place in his backyard. You would think he would be interested in it. Is there any suggestion that Alex Jones is on the take from Peter Thiel? Are there rumors that there's something going on there? Because this all seems very suspicious to me. If I'm connecting the dots, as Alex Jones would want me to do, I see some pretty big connections here, possibly.
You know, that's an interesting question. I mean, I don't think we have any evidence of that, but certainly, you know, if you think of another tech billionaire, Elon Musk, he tried to intervene in the InfoWars bankruptcy settlement or case. And so, you know, it does make you wonder. I mean, there appears to be a lot of money still kind of like being funneled into Alex Jones' world, despite these mammoth Sandy Hook judgments. So it does make you curious.
It does make me curious. I'm going to keep an eye on this. We got some dots. We're going to connect them here. We're going to figure it all out. With the help of False Flag and Will Sommer at The Bulwark. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Will.
Thanks for having me.
And of course, make sure to hit that subscribe button, like this, share it with your friends, go sign up for False Flag at thebulwark.com and everything else there. It's you do not want to miss this email in your inbox several times a week. It really is like the highlight of my, don't tell Tim and JVL and everybody else that I said this, Will, but it is kind of it's become the highlight of my week at the Bulwark.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,